the burden on my heart is about faith, what faith is. And this is what it is, right up here. So we'll talk about that a little bit, maybe. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for so many wonderful things. You are good to us, Lord, and we appreciate it. We pray this day that you'll help us to bear a true witness of Christ. Help us, Lord, because as I said, there's distractions of all kinds. We need your help. We ask for it, Lord. So as we go through your word, we pray, Lord, that it will be clear to us, understandable, and be engraved in our heart and mind. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to read Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 10. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world. Here, the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he could later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. All right, I want to start off with the last two verses in chapter 10. And I know I've preached on this before, I understand that. But that's what I believe the Lord gave me for today. It certainly fit in with the song there. All right. Now, this expression, my righteous one will live by faith. The just shall live by faith is the kind of the motto of the Protestant Revolution. It came about because of the Catholic practice of penances, that is, of suffering in some way or giving money or beating themselves or doing something like that to earn salvation. And Martin Luther had this marvelous idea that it's not by the penances, it's not by giving money, it's not by all this, it's by faith. Well, it's come, you know, several hundred years have passed, and now what is taught commonly, man, I'm cranked on this because of an email I got from somebody who's telling me I'm all wrong, you know, it's all works and everything. It's all by faith, and faith alone, you don't do anything. Amazing. He's got the same Bible as I do, and that he come up with a thing like that. But anyway, I realize that this idea that we don't do anything, that we believe, and that's how we're saved, is by our belief, is prevalent. I mean, it's probably more people, evangelical people, believe that than you would ever guess. It's so totally wrong, but I'm going to try to say some things that will help if I can. Now, if you'll notice, well, let's hold your big toe in there, in that place, and go, what is it, Habakkuk 2:4? Is it where it originated? It's four times in the Bible. And I think Habakkuk 2:4. If people would just read the Bible, what a wonderful world this would be. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. So there's two kinds of people being contrasted here. Well, what are they? What two kinds of people are being contrasted here? Huh? Yeah, the person whose desires are not upright. In other words, an unrighteous person. He is puffed up, Habakkuk says, and his desires are not righteous. That's one kind of person. He's puffed up. But the righteous person lives by his faith. So how then would you define the word faith from that? You have to think. Would you believe me if I said it is someone who is not puffed up and who his desires are righteous? Does that wash? In other words, the opposite of living by faith is living by being puffed up with unrighteous desires. Now, today, in our day, when they begin to cry, say by faith alone, it's not this contrast. It's either we believe that Christ saved us and did it all, and we don't do anything, or else we try to add to the perfect work of God by trying to be righteous. That is what is taught, if you can believe it. And so this young man in an email was taking us on that it's a sovereign work. Jesus did it all. It's finished. And to be saved, you must believe that. And if you try to do anything at all, like the exhortations to Timothy, you know, all the exhortations to righteous living, if you try to do anything like that, you are insulting God's grace, because God wants you to go to heaven by believing that he saved you by his grace, meaning forgiveness. Now, you know, I would not bother you on Sunday morning in nice weather with something that is not important. But which of those two viewpoints you believe, whether you believe that being saved by faith means not being puffed up and not having unrighteous desires, or whether you believe that being righteous means that you don't do anything but believe, is going to make a big difference in how you live. And that's where the rub is. Because I won't preach anything unless it translates into righteous behavior. Otherwise, you're just talking about words and theology. And that's a waste of time. What I'm concerned about is our nation is being destroyed financially. Strange alien gods that we have not known are entering in and demanding attention. And there's immorality that you can't believe. Perversions that are getting worse all the time. And the reason is the churches are not preaching the gospel. They're preaching belief. Belief. How many remember what James said about the demons and belief? The demons believe, and they tremble. Belief will not save, and by save, I'm using the vernacular that means when you die to go to heaven, which is another problem, and I don't want to get confusing here. To be saved, nobody was ever saved by believing facts. Christ was born of a virgin. Christ died for our sins. Christ was raised from the dead. Christ is coming back again in bodily form. You can, the demons know it's true. You remember how they said, we know who you are. We know you're who, you're the Holy One of God. So if you believe there's a God, that will not save you. If you believe Christ died for your sins, that will not save you. That's not what faith is. I'm starting to yell like Lisa. I don't want to do that. Now, this may seem, of course, or boring, or whatever. I can't help it. God wants this church to be a testimony. He's told me that clearly. Every church has some role to play in the kingdom. It can be helping the poor. It can be doing missionary work. It can be doing evangelism, whatever. God told me the purpose of Mount Zion Fellowship is to bear witness of God, who He is, what His plan is, and His plan in Christ. And as I was sitting there looking at the words of the song and listening to what Stan said, that's right. See, this is a witness. This song is a witness. I don't know whether you think about it when you sing it or not, but it's a witness. It is what faith is. Do you see anything about belief in there? What happened?
Well, we can't do the song.
We can't look at Hebrews and that. So, Dimitri, why did you make one of the elders get up? You're supposed to be doing that. Do you see anything about belief? I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I believe in the blood atonement. I believe that we're all sinners or anything. This is true faith. Every day I start anew. It doesn't say every day I remind myself of what I believe. See, there's motion here. You see that? I'm not looking back. That's not belief. That's an action. I won't count the cost. When you say you have to believe, but did you notice when we read in Hebrews that it says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. See, that he is a rewarder. And that right there is what determines your behavior. One, the belief is a mental assent or acknowledgement of what is true. And it has nothing to do with religion. It's fact. You know, they separate state from religion. Well, that's fine. But you can't separate the state from God because God is. See, he's a fact. Independently of religion. That doesn't seem to impress you greatly. But if the government could ever get the difference between their mind that we're not supposed to cut God out of everything, but cut religion out of everything, there's a big difference. You can't cut God out of anything because he is. God is. But if you stop there, you just have a dead belief. So you believe there's a God. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. It's like believing there's a sun in the sky. That just means that you're not completely dumb. There is a God, which is obvious to anybody in his right mind, that everything around us just didn't suddenly spring into existence. It came from somewhere. And so, and you can see the design in it in so many ways that you're a fool, like the Bible says. The man says there's no God is a fool. He's a fool. He can't see what's in front of his face. Obviously, there's a God. So, and that has nothing to do with religion, whatever. Religion is man's work adapting to the fact that there is a God, whoever he believes. But when you get down to he's a rewarder of those who seek him, it doesn't say diligently. Well, see, it's more than seeking, but seeking diligently, that's what this is about. That's what that's about. That's faith. That's faith. That's where it passes from belief to faith. So you can see what an enormous error this is in our country. Because people say the big question about whether you're an atheist or whether you believe in God, it doesn't matter at all. Whether you're an atheist or whether you believe in, that there is a God. What matters is if you believe enough to diligently seek Him. Yeah, what are you doing? Trying to save money? I want people to see those words because that's the whole, because you see, faith, the light bulb went out there. Faith is a very difficult thing to define. I'll bet I've heard 15 different definitions of faith in my life. I can remember a pastor putting a chair on the platform and sitting in it. And he says, see, I have faith that the chair will hold me up. Well, I suppose that's true. That's one form of it. And then you get a guy that doesn't want to work, but he wants to preach. So he says, I'm living by faith. Meaning, you're supposed to give him money because he doesn't want to work. That's one that's another definition of faith. So there's all kinds of definitions. So people don't know whether faith is magic or whether it's something that you seize control of the universe with or exactly what it is. It's very hard to define. So that's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm laboring in the Word is what I'm doing. If you want to know what I'm doing, I'm laboring in the Word. All right. Now, so we got Habakkuk 2:4. Now let's go back to Hebrews 10, what is it, 32, 22, something like that. We're going to have to be nimble this morning. All right, 38. All right, now this is the expression, the just shall live by faith, is four times in the Bible. Once in Habakkuk, that's where it originates. Then it's three times in the New Testament. And this is one of the three, the last of the three. It's also in Romans 1 and some other place. All right. So this is very important because this is what it means to be in Christ. This is, and it's the dead in Christ who arise when He comes. This is what it means to be in Christ. Living by faith and being in Christ are synonymous. They're the same thing. It's how you live. The just shall live. See, that's how you live, not what you believe. It's how you live. The just shall live by diligently seeking God. That's how we live. And that's what this song portrays. All right, that was there. All right, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, now see there, the idea is it's not if he quits believing. But shrinking implies that you are moving forward under pressure and then for some reason you quit it. So it's always action. Faith can never be an abstraction. Belief can. But faith cannot. Faith is action. Faith is behavior. We show our faith by what we do, not what we believe. That's why the idea of having a statement of faith is ridiculous. You can't have a statement of faith. You portray by your actions your faith. Our faith is really our opinion of God's character. See, that's what it is. That's where it came out. Where was it? Was it in Sarah Ann's song, or was it something Sam said, or something about it there, that faith, we show faith is demonstrated in what we do. We have faith in God, and it moves us. Whereas belief is just, you know what belief does? What does the Bible say knowledge does? Puffs us up. That's all it does. Knowledge puffs us up. Faith doesn't puff us up. I'm just giving you some differences because this is a difficult thing to get your mind around. What is faith? All right. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, that is, if he quits behaving according to seeking God if he just suddenly quits and lives in the world. God says, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. That's what will happen. If you start off in Christ, you're pressing forward, like Paul says, one of the translations says, straining every nerve in Philippians 3, that I might attain to the resurrection. And then if Paul quit that and went back to Tarsus and lived as a rich Jew, he had money. That's why Felix was trying to get a bribe out of him. He had money. He was a rich Jew. He was a Roman citizen. He could have gone back and taught Sunday school and said, there I'm serving God. But instead, he was always moving forward, led by the Spirit of God. He never shrunk back. That is that is the difference between belief and faith. Faith can never be alone, separate from action. If faith is in action, it's a part of action. You act because of your faith. But you can believe something. And, for example, if you're speeding and a policeman pulls you over, he says, you're speeding. And you, as soon as he lets you go, you take off speeding again. Well, you believe he's a policeman, but you don't have faith he can do anything about it. The same way, I believe in Christ. Oh, yes, I believe in Christ. Well, what do you mean by that? Exactly what do you mean that Christ is? That's true. Christ is. He exists. What do you mean you believe in Christ? You believe he's the Son of God? Well, the demons know that. You believe he created all things? Well, yeah, maybe. None of that is faith. It's belief. Faith is when you do what Christ said. Then you have faith in Christ. You have faith when you obey him from the scripture or from his word to you personally. When you obey Christ, that is what faith is. And that's why in Hebrews it is, I think it's the last two verses in chapter 3 of Hebrews. Hi. Got my eye over there on Dimitri. Dimitri says, I'm tarred. All upper teenagers from 14 on through 19 are always tired. That's why they'll open a door and go through it and forget to close it. And this is the way teenagers behave, and it's because they're tired growing up. I used to get kind of miffed at this. For heaven's sake, you know, will you shut the door? No, they can't. They're tired. All right. Now look at this. Last two verses in Hebrews 3. And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? Be careful now. Are you going to miss the point? Marla's not going to because she's watching me carefully. All right. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their... See, it should be disobedience. See? So what I get out of that is that belief and obedience are the same thing. Can you get that? They couldn't enter in because they disobeyed. Well, why did they disobey? Because they didn't believe. So true belief results in action. That's sneaky. All right. Now, let's go back here to Hebrews chapter... Well, no, let's take one more look at the song. Look, I want to impress that on you. I mean, you probably won't love me for this, but it will help you to bring the word faith out of that nebulous, kind of hard, you know, you can't get your brain around. Well, what is it? Is it some form of belief, or exactly whether the just live by faith? What does that mean? They believe there's a God? But this is what faith is. Well, we believe that God is good. And that can be a real issue in somebody's life, because they suffer enough, they begin to believe God is not good or God hates them. There's people like that. Every day I look to you. Okay? Not every day I believe, but I look to you. I make a point of trying to find out what it is you want. Isn't that what it's saying? All right? Every day I start anew. And I'm a great believer in that. You know, there's people that they spend a lot of time on their genealogies. I'm afraid to find out my ancestors. They might have all been in prison for all I know. I don't give a fig for the back. What's behind is back, it's gone, it brought us where we are in this day, and that's all that matters. And it is a very important key to the overcoming life to forget the past. That stuns some of you. But it's true. Because think of all the stupid things you've done. Do you want to keep remembering them? Well, I don't. Because I've done stupider things than you have. And I don't want to think about them. And when I do, I wince. And then I say, Lord, that's painful. Please take it from my mind. So you see what kind of a life I've had. Well, anyway, Paul says, forgetting what is behind. It's a key to the victorious Christian life, is to forget. So God dug you and dug me out of a pit. And what we are is smart animals, whether we know it or not. But what we're heading toward is marvelous beyond belief. So why spend time digging around in the pit to see if you can find some of the old worms you used to chew on? That's what it says. Every day I start anew. I do. I don't know about you, but I made so many mistakes yesterday, I don't want to think about them. And looking back at what I lost, I won't count the cost. Well, what did you lose? I didn't lose anything. I had to give up certain things in my life, education, music, to write God's word that he gave me, but I wouldn't trade for anything. Go back and say, I'm sorry, I didn't become a virtuoso pianist, and I, you know, didn't become a superintendent of schools. I don't spend any time thinking about that. I want to know where I am now and where I'm going. Because I know it's going to be wonderful, because God is good. So I don't count the cost. The cost is if you don't obey God, then there's a cost. Because you lose your inheritance. That's right. The battle may bring me down, I will get up. And that's true. David one time said, you save me from enemies too strong for me. And sometimes there comes that in your life where you, boy, I mean, you get a roundhouse and you're flat on your back. See, but the thing is, you get up again. If you have to make restitution, you do it. If you have to say somebody, I'm sorry, I acted foolishly and spitefully, you do it. And then you go on. Then you press on. Because if you were already perfect, you wouldn't need a Savior, would you? So you're going to make mistakes. Boy, that went over like a what? Yeah. Cement balloon. You are going to make mistakes. Get used to it. That's no big deal that you did some fool thing. That's what you're expected to do. What matters is what you do after that, how you handle it. That's what makes a victorious saint. Not that they never did anything wrong, because we all do things wrong from time to time. Now, you may be different, so I'm assuming you're like me. We all do things wrong from time to time. But we don't lay there on the canvas while the referee's counting. We get up, make things right when we can. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes in a guilt trip, we'll rush around telling everybody what we did wrong. You know, I used to hate you, or tell your wife or your husband, you know, I've been cheating or something. There's times to shut your mouth and forget your guilt trip and work it out with Jesus. And don't say anything unless the Lord tells you to. Boy, that right there, that was worth a lot of money, I tell you. Just because you feel guilty, don't lay your thing on somebody else so they feel bad too. Just gird up the loins of your mind and work it out with Christ. And if he tells you, yes, you must confess this to somebody, then do it. Otherwise, don't. Because you're laying things on them that maybe they don't need to hear. Oh, such profound wisdom. Isn't that true, Mario? That's profound wisdom. I will get up. You lift me up. You know, and it's in the lifting that life comes to other people. Did you know that? As God lifts you up, that same power spills over and affects other people. You can find that in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. All right. To be found worthy of your kingdom. And believe it or not, in spite of all the current teaching, you have to be worthy of the kingdom. I think it's said about 4 times in the New Testament, make yourself worthy, be worthy of your calling. Yeah, well, how you do that? Well, you do what the preceding verses up here have said. You get up every morning, new, you seek the Lord, find out what he wants, and go on your way. That's when you're worthy of the kingdom. When you shrink back and say, oh, this is too much for me, and nobody's doing it, and we're not having any fun, and blah, 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 then you're unworthy of the kingdom. You're not worthy of it. You have to be worthy of the kingdom. Man, that should be preached more in our country. Oh, but you'd hear the hollers. That was for the Jews. Oh, stuff that goes on. Suffering many trials. And we're going to suffer. You say, well, I don't like that and I don't need to hear it. Well, that may be true, but you are. It says we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. Well, why is that? It's because we are a mess. We're carrying around a suitcase full of snakes. And God doesn't want you bringing them with you. So the tribulation causes you to take stock and to pray and ask God's help and do all kinds of things. Our country is going to go through it, believe me, because it's played fast and loose with God. And God's been so good to our country because of the godly people. They haven't always been godly, but there's been a lot more godly people than there are today. And as a result, we've been blessed marvelously in the United States. The rest of the world tries to get citizenship here, legally or illegally. We've been blessed, but we have ascribed that to our own doing. And God's presence is withdrawing from the United States. And as a result, the demons are entering in. And one that you've got to watch out for, in addition to the demon of lust, which causes you to sin, but one is the demon of murder. I don't know if you've noticed how many murders there are each day. And these are ordinary people. They're just some guy who get mad at his girlfriend and kill her. Or his girlfriend get mad at him and kill him. It's because you cannot. Now listen to me. In the day in which we live, with the demon population the way it is, and the presence of God being removed, you cannot afford to get angry. You cannot afford to get angry. Because if you do, you may find out before you knew what you were doing, you killed somebody. It's because the demons of murder are right there to take advantage of it. But you cannot afford to fly into a rage. Because you'll kill, you know, there's people in prison and death row saying, I don't know why I did what I did. I don't understand it. Yeah, that's been in the paper recently also. So don't lose control of yourself because there's demons there that just can't find expression unless they get it through a human. So they're always looking for a human that lets his or her guard down so they can take over. And that's true of sexual lust. It's true of murder. It's true of thievery. It's true of lying. All these spirits, because God, see, God used to keep them under control, but now they're coming from every nation where they worship voodoo and worship these other things. They used to be held out of the United States. Now they're moving in. And that's why you read about the stuff in the paper that you can't believe. Mothers killing their children because the children inconvenience them and all this stuff. It's not natural. It's demonic. What's going on? My only hope is to be the first in rank. What you mean here is in the first rank, because otherwise it sounds like you're trying to be ahead of everybody else. What you mean is my only hope is to be in the first rank, I think. That's what we mean. Is that right? Right. And I know that's what you meant. Sandy wrote this, by the way. I know that's what you meant, but I'm telling you how to word it a little differently, to be in the first rank.
Okay.
See, because otherwise people will think, you know, you're trying to be hot stuff. All right, I know that's what you meant. To be like you. Oh, my body will ride. I was telling Mark on the way down, I got a 12-year-old spirit in an aging body. And I could have so much fun if I could get out of this prison. You don't appreciate that. Well, you will someday. I'm young inside, but I can't express myself. You know, I can't, if I move too fast, I'll fall on my face. So, but I'm going to get another one.
Amen.
I'm going to get another one. That's why I don't look back at the horse thieves, my ancestors. I'm going to get another body one of these days, so don't grieve for me. Just say, boy, Thompson's up there having a wonderful time. Okay. I come to you through the cross, and that's the only way you can come. That's what the Bible says. God meets man at the cross and only at the cross. And when you do all these things, you'll see the Lord. And we don't all see the Lord in the same way. You know, sometimes God is very, I was telling somebody this morning, sometimes God is very present with us. And we're so used to it, we don't realize that God is with us. And one way he has of showing us that he's with us is by leaving us. And then when he does, you know, for a few minutes, then when he does, oh, God, I didn't realize you were right with me all the time. Yes.
That's an error. It says, I seek you, Lord. That's an error that I didn't put the K in.
Yeah. We're going to change it. Don't worry. We don't want you, people to think you're stuck up. All right. Now, yeah, puffed up. We don't want people to think you're puffed up. All right, but that is a wonderful song. And and the music also is in a minor mode. And that's the minor mode is stronger than a major mode. And that's why it's a good, strong song with good, strong words. All right, now, we're what we are now, I'm about through, so don't pass out. Hebrews 11, we're in Hebrews 11, starting with the first verse. Now, I want you to notice there the word hope. We're saved by hope. I think that's in Romans. We're saved by hope. You know, when these errors came down the pike, the prosperity and the similar things, faith, as they used it at the time to get what you want, that there was no idea of hope. It's either you get it now. That was accented, overemphasized again and again. You get it now. But I'll tell you that the saints are made, and I've said this before, in the period of time between when you first get a vision what God has for you and then when it actually happens, there's a space of time there. And it's in that space of time that the saints are made. Because use Abraham for an example. See, God told him when he was 75, you're going to have a son. Well, 75 years old, you know. So Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then, do you know how long it was before the son came? 25 years. quarter of a century. And it's in that time that Abraham made a terrible mistake. And what was that?
Ishmael.
Ishmael, the child between Abraham and Sarah's servant girl. And the Lord said to him, he'll be a wild man and his hand against every man. And I don't want to name names here, but if you look at those who descended from Ishmael, that is exactly true of them. They're wild and every man's hand is against them. And see, none of that had to happen except Abraham got ahead of God. And instead of waiting and hoping, he put his little pinkies on the ark. And the result was the enemies of Israel. Of course, they claim, those enemies claim that Ishmael was the promised seed. That's what they claim. No, that was Isaac. And Ishmael lived his own way. Hope for. So, faith and hope. See how different that is from belief? Can you see that? Well, maybe you don't see it. But hope is an active thing. Well, you could say, yeah, I believe that it's going to happen. But when you say that, what you're really saying is faith. Because you've got faith in God. And yet, that's not altogether true either. Hope has its own category, because sometimes you get pushed down so far you're about ready to give up. You think, I'll never see it. I'll just never see it. And if you have faith, you keep clinging in. I'll trust you, Lord. I don't understand you, but I trust and I hope. And hope is important because, you see, the Bible says that God gives to those that delight themselves in him, he gives them the desires. And hope and desires are very closely related. So here's a wise prayer. Pray that God will give you his desires. That's a wise prayer, because you're going to get the desires of your heart. Pray that God will give you his desires. And any desires that you have are not from him, ask him to burn them out with his fire, because they're going to lead you to pain. You want God's desires. And you see, you have that desire. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. So the people that make it, the victors, are people who never give up their hope. And that hope is based in their assessment of God's character, particularly his faithfulness. See, that's what it's all about. See, that's where Eve messed up. She didn't believe that God was good and that he was faithful. She didn't believe that. And so that's what faith is. That hope, being certain of that hope. And it's much stronger than just believe. Because like I said, you can believe a man's a policeman, but if you don't do what he says, none of you do any good. And certain of what we do not see. And that's the problem, isn't it? But you know, I'll tell you this. Let's say that you don't have much faith in God and you die and then you can see God. Think, then I'll have faith. Guess what? You won't. Satan was a guardian cherub next to the throne of God. He could see God all the time. But he did not have faith in God. He did not have faith in God, how great God is, and that God can do what God wants to do. So dying and going to heaven will not give you faith. Faith comes as you serve God every day and then see the faithful answers to prayer in your life. That's how your faith in God is built up, till finally you know that God will not let you down. How do you know? Not by seeing him, but because of your experience with God, how he responds. This is what the ancients were commended for. Hope. Hope. We're saved by hope, Paul says. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Now notice what follows. And by the way, God formed the creation through Christ. That's in Hebrews, the first chapter, through whom he made the worlds. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. That's this world. So what was it made from? Yeah, I know what it was. It was invisible. But what is it? It was made from the spirit world. Would you agree to that? It's made by God. Its basis is spiritual. It's not made probably using angels and Christ and everything else. But here's the point. Since the spirit world, this world was made from the spirit world, would you expect the two worlds to be similar or dissimilar? What would you expect? Certainly they're similar. This world is fabricated for the purpose of finding God's elect and training them. That's the only purpose of this world. When God is through with it, he'll throw it in the hamper. Where does it say that?
Revelation.
Hebrews, the first chapter. Remember down toward the end, it says, it doesn't use the word hamper, but that's the idea. The whole first creation is expendable to select out God's future rulers. So don't hold onto it too tightly. The worlds, as I see them, are very similar. And the only thing is the spirit world is better, but it's the same things. Well, stop and think. How would you like to go to heaven? Right now, how would you like to go to heaven? Nobody here a candidate? All right, let's say you went to heaven. What would you hope to see there? God. I thought a lot about this last night. What would you hope to see there?
It's forest grass.
Huh?
Blue sky. Justice. Lakes. Animals.
Would you like to go to a world where there were no animals? No. But what are you saying? How would you like people to look? How would you like them to look? Much the same as now, or kind of different? Triangular heads, three eyes, huh? Fangs. How would you like people to look? Like what we're used to, wouldn't you? What kind of scenery would you like? Do you know when artists paint a picture of heaven, you know what they usually paint? A landscape, birds, trees, flowers. They don't paint something weird like we've never seen, you know, like the insides of a computer or something. They don't. A poet said, all that interests man is man. And that's true. We don't realize that we cannot even picture in our mind a world different than the one we live in. We can't even picture it. Because this world was made from the other, and it's just made by energy. Scientists know that. It's little atoms swirling around and everything. It's a fabrication. You know, like you go up and you die and you get to heaven and say, look, there's California poppies up here. No, the mystery is, there's California poppies down here. Why, they even have candles in heaven. No, that isn't what's surprising. What's surprising is there's candles down here. Well, there's beautiful clouds in heaven. Well, the surprising thing is there are clouds down here. And there are sunsets down here with orange clouds. That's the surprising thing. So I've learned that in the last 4 years. So if you want to picture heaven, just like the world, what's missing is sin. What's missing is people who are driven by their own self-determination. Because one such person would ruin paradise. Everyone is compelled to do God's will. And they're taught until they do it cheerfully and consistently at all times. And those who refuse, absolutely refuse to obey Christ can never enter the new world of righteousness because they'd spoil it for everyone else. So what you're looking forward toward is a world that from which our world was made. People are people, animals are animals, children are children, and how there can be families, I can't go into the mechanics of it, but I know there are because it says his kingdom will increase forever. Rapidly, the new earth, as huge as it is, won't be large enough to hold the people, so they'll begin to colonize the stars. And you can get from here to a star in no time at all because distance and time do not operate as they do here. So it's a world passingly wonderful with all the best of this world and none of the problems. That's what we're heading toward. And in the meanwhile, there's people being trained in the New Jerusalem to come down to earth and to establish paradise on the earth. Because what God, that's why it talks about a rule with a rod of iron. Because what God begins, he never breaks off. He always finishes. So we've got wonders to look forward to. But your task and my task now is to not get involved with the chaos of the world. If there's something you can do about it, yes, but not fret. Don't worry about it. God is doing what he wants to do. And if you and I will be absolutely faithful to seek Christ every day, as our song said, seek Christ every day and do his will, you will save yourself and your family if everything else goes to pot. Just remember what I said. Don't take anything for granted from here on out. We're going into a moral chaos, but you don't have to. You can save yourself and your family by seeking Christ and obeying him every day. How's that sound? So you don't have to fret about what you read in the paper. It isn't going to hurt you if you'll do that. Shall we stand? Oh, Father, I thank you. What would we do if we didn't have you? What would we do when we see our country being destroyed? It's worthy of another book of Lamentations. What is happening and what is going to happen. But Lord, we don't look at it. We look at Jesus, who has all power. And we look at the goodness of God. Now, Lord, help us to live by faith in God. Every moment of every day, looking to God, seeking him, rejoicing in him. Help us to do that, Lord, and we will save ourselves and our loved ones through the fires that are, that are to come. Help us do that, Lord. Right now, as I'm praying, you agree with me. And you tell the Lord that you're going to serve him because I'm telling you, people, I could not tell you how serious this business is. Jesus, we haven't seen rape and murder and all these things. We haven't seen, other countries have. We haven't seen that. We're spoiled, Lord. But we can save ourselves and our families if we'll be faithful to Jesus. So help us to live by faith from now on, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You can come and pray if you want to. Renew your faith in God. You can just stand and think about what was said.